Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today. I just really am so excited for tonight, just for that heavy, weighty presence, the glory of God. And I wanted to share something with you before I started worship that really just spoke to me. I was at a women's conference a while back at a bigger church, and the lady had all of us think about a lie that the enemy has spoken over us, and we were supposed to write it down. So I wrote it down, and they said, you know, ask the Lord what he wants to say about that lie. So I was, you know, praying in the spirit, and just nothing was coming up. And then instead of the Lord giving me an answer to that lie, he gave me a prayer. And the prayer was, Lord, make me a conduit of your glory. And it just blows my mind with the Lord, because he's like in a whole different hemisphere, a whole different world, a whole different language. We're expecting one thing, but sometimes the answer is not what we think it is. And sometimes it's a prayer, and conduit isn't even in my language really, but I looked up the word conduit. And the word conduit is a channel for conveying water or fluid. A person or organization that acts as a channel for the transmission of something. So there's a receiving and a flowing out. And I just really feel like for tonight that we are going to be in a place of receiving and flowing out of what the Lord wants to do tonight. I really feel like it's meant to be. There's a timing that the Lord has set in place from the beginning of time for this moment right here. And I'm just opening my spiritual eyes and ears to just really, really be in that rhythm and just lean in and just put every other distraction away. And I really feel like the Lord is going to do something new. And he's gonna, might speak in a language we're not used to. But Lord, we just want to be open to that, Lord. Lord, we want to hear your language. We want to be in the rhythm of heaven in this place tonight, Lord. We want to just lift up our feet and just flow in that river, Lord. And just let you take us to new places, Lord, tonight. Because it's all about you, Lord. It's not about what we see around us. It's about the unseen, what you're doing, Lord. What you're stirring up, Lord God. What you're springing forth, Lord God. So I just pray over every single person right now in this place. I just break off any fear, any shame, any guilt, any distractions, just to leave in the name of Jesus. And I just speak your light to just blow in this place and every dark shadow flee in the name of Jesus. And I just encourage all of us to just be free. If you want to lay out, if you want to walk around, whatever you need to do to just step into the Lord's world, please do it as we just get into a place of worship right now.
The name of Jesus. Thank you. Shake off.
Holy Spirit, we are so hungry for your glory, Lord God. We just lean into you right now. let him take you where he wants to take you tonight. of times we think that deliverance is a violent thing, but the Prince of Peace shall crush Satan underneath his feet. The Prince of Peace. So right now, the Lord wants to sing a song of deliverance over us in a place of
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just bless everyone here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you show us Jesus and that we would just fall deeper in love with him. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be expanded, our hearts, our minds, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that our hearts would be touched tonight. And Lord, we thank you, God, that your glory surrounds us, Lord. And I pray that we would see your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, no problem. How's everybody doing? Good. It's good to see you guys. Now, I know there's a lot of you that I know. Is everybody here that that's never heard me before? Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Well, then you guys are going to be great, are my guinea pigs tonight, so that ought to be fun. So I want to share a little bit of what I feel like the Lord put on my heart tonight. Is that loud enough? Should I put it up louder? Put it up higher? Is that good there?
Yeah.
It is? Okay. My voice carries. All right. There we go. All right. So I'm going to share some stuff that I feel like is on my heart tonight that I hope will encourage you. It's really interesting how often, like, when the Lord starts to speak to me right before I go and share, the Lord starts sharing stuff with me, and it's like, okay, all right, I got that. So I'm gonna start with a story and, give you a little context here. Basically, what it came down to is, I grew up in a Baptist church, very strict Baptist church. And loving Jesus at a young age, time went on, got sick and tired of religion, what I was seeing in the church, went to Bible college, lost my faith, and left Bible college, started going the opposite direction of everything I was taught. But in that place of darkness and depression and anxiety, the Lord met me when I was completely rebellious. And I had a praying mom, too, so that was very helpful. But I experienced miracles that I could not explain by science or logic. And there was a small period of time that I spent as an atheist. But it didn't last very long because I was a very bad atheist. And what I mean by that is I couldn't look at, like, the world and be like, wow, this is just by chance. And I knew myself as an artist. Like, I know how much attention to detail I would do and how much more so when you see, like, fish at the bottom of the sea that look like aliens, like, and they have legs on their head. And, I mean, how can you just say that just by chance? But I got filled with the Holy Spirit, not knowing what that was. I knew what happened when it happened to me. But I started asking God to show himself to me. I was experiencing these miracles without walking with God. I experienced many, many miracles that brought me to this moment in April 6, 2003. It was God's kindness and his goodness that brought me to repentance. It was God's goodness that actually shifted my mind, and I realized, well, maybe God's not a jerk after all. And that's basically what happened with me, is like I started to realize, like, some of the things that I was dealing with were because of my own decision making, and some of them were because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But Christ has come to bring life and life more abundantly, John 10:10. And I think from this moment of experiencing the Holy Spirit, I've been really thinking about what does the abundant life look like? And I would say that through lots of trial and lots of error, I realize that I still don't really know what I'm doing. But it all comes down to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I believe that everything in the Christian life comes down to having your mind renewed. And 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And everything in the Greek means everything. So he's given us everything. All his promises are a yes and amen. So if we can really wrap our hearts and minds around what God's already done, the finished work of the cross, it would completely revolutionize us. I think about, I told you I was going to tell you a story, a lie, I guess. I need to become a good Christian again. So I'm going to tell you a story here. What happened to me was, I still had mingled in my life law and grace. And I felt like, yes, I did not earn salvation, but in order to become a good Christian, I had to do this, and if I didn't do this, then I wasn't a Christian, or I was disappointing God. And I realized that God's not disappointed, and that he was not discouraged by me. And in fact, my sins, and I'm still growing my understanding, is my sins and our sins have been thrown away as far as from the east to the west. So when you try to remind him of that, he's going to be like, oh, you're really cute, but I have no idea what you're talking about. And when you start living from that place, you're like, oh my goodness, like, well then, whoa, then what about the religious mind? The religious voice comes up and says, well, does that just mean you can do whatever you want? Well, that's stupid. Like, really? Like, why would you go and put yourself back in bondage again, right? Like, if I could be free... I mean, just think about this. If we could live in a place of freedom, that we actually experience freedom, do we really want to go back to those things? No, of course not. Because what happens is sin is our attempt to fulfill something that God's put inside of us for good. Sin is actually the opposite of God's character and nature. It's an alternative to having your needs being met outside of God. That's what sin is. Yes, it's against the character and nature of God, but it's the enemy's way of trying to give us an alternative. And, you know, when we use the word antichrist, we think of, I don't know about you guys, but the Baptist Church, I'm thinking about those movies back in the 70s. Like, I wasn't there back then. I'm, like, older, but not that old. But I used to be so scared of those movies, like, people getting their heads chopped off and 666 on their forehead. And,
And I can hear the music in the background, so ominous. Like, I mean, come on, like, beats Freddie and Jason any day. You know, the whole Rapture stories. But I remember, like having this sense of fear and dread. And here I am, after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, experiencing miracles, signs, and wonders, and I still go through these highs and lows. And I thought, well, maybe that's just the normal Christian life. And I want you to know, like, I don't believe that about us. I believe that we are more than victorious. And that the church, it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So, whatever defeat you're experiencing is in your mind. And it happens here. This is where it happens. It's what happened in the garden. The only reason why Adam and Eve, they felt separated from God was from their mind. But we have this battle of the heart and mind, right? You have your little angel here and you have your little demon right here saying two different things, right? Saying, you know, like, you know, you better go and tithe more, you better pray more, you better go and invite people to church and evangelize. And those are all true things, but that's not always what God is asking us to do. You know, it's sometimes just saying, be still and know that I'm God. So after wrestling after all these years, I got to a place where I burned out, and I was involved with every ministry, like men's ministry, children's ministry, ministry of ministry, all these different kinds of ministries. And I honestly could not find myself, like, really coming into a place of rest. Like, I don't even know what that was. We didn't talk about that. I mean, I'd read it in the scriptures in Hebrews, but I really didn't have a clue. Well, I got burned out. And so I spent about 4 or 5 years of leaving the church. And, you know, just like I said earlier, like, the Antichrist spirit is not a guy that's just going to come over and take over the world. It's actually a spirit that wants to give you an alternative. The word anti, the word actually means in place of. So the enemy is always trying to give you things in place of Christ. So so fast forward, I'm in this place where I no longer was walking in the Spirit. Now, in my heart, I love Jesus. Like, I was disappointed in myself. I felt like such a failure. I mean, people would tell, I'd tell these stories about all the things that I'd solved. Stuff that you think, if you experienced it, you'd never go back to your old life, because why would you do that after experiencing that? Well, if you're still living in that place of guilt, condemnation, and shame, you're going to have to find alternatives to your life, right? Because remember, Jesus says to the disciples, they come up to him and like, are you hungry? Jesus is like, I have food that you do not know of. But when you're not living for him in that way, and acknowledging him in all of your ways, you're acknowledging yourself. That's what happens. We get so all about me and my situation and my girlfriend and my financial thing, my health, and my. And we wonder why we're depressed. Because we're looking at ourselves instead of Jesus. Because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He is our hope. He is the glory. He is the goodness. Right? And so, I got to this place in my life where I even tried going back to my, for a period of time, I tried to go back to my old lifestyle. And I used to party and go out and do things. Nothing was working. I could not even operate in the world anymore because I was so, like, barraged by experiencing God. Like, everything just felt like it was just vomit. It wasn't anything, like, compared to anything. Like, nothing at all. And so, fast forward, I end up starting hearing about this guy named Graham Cook, and he talked about rest, and I thought to myself, like, I would never have been burned out if I understood the finished work of the cross and understood what rest is. And I think to this day, I'm still, like, trying to understand, like, what does it look like to live an abundant life? And I'm not just talking about, you know, people are like, oh, you're a prosperity preacher, and I just like to mess with people, like, and jerk people's chains a little bit, like, yeah, I'm a prosperity preacher. And I'll just, like, sit there and let it stew a little bit and let people get, like, want to throw stones at me and stuff. And I'm like, it says that you're meant to prosper as your soul prospers. It's actually biblical. The problem is that there are some people, and there are some ministers, that focus on the external things. That other stuff is just byproducts of being in the, by receiving your inheritance. That, like, I don't care, I don't really care so much about how much I have, unless it's for other people. But God, and He does want us to be blessed. He does. Wouldn't you think, like, you want your kids to be blessed? Like, if you don't want your kids to be blessed, you might need to get some counseling or something. Like, I need to make sure they're humble. You know, like, I'm not going to give them that ice cream. You know, like, seriously, you know. You know, or make sure that they keep your head. Hey, keep your head down low. You're getting too big for yourself. You're getting too big for your britches there. You know? And it's kind of like the mindsets that we carry and the filters by which we put on God. And so I've been thinking about this whole thing about what does it look like to live the abundant life? And I think this whole idea of having our mind renewed is really comes down to faith. Faith is a perspective. It's a way of thinking. Faith is not just something I do. It's something that it's eyes that I see. It's not something that I see physically with my eyes, but my spiritual eyes. And so I've been thinking about this whole thing. Like, everything that's going on in the world, all the craziness, right? It made me go deeper. It made me say, you know, I really need to make sure that I'm keeping myself rooted and grounded in Him. Otherwise, I'm just going to be freaking out all the time, walking in fear, walking in anxiety, and, you know, or is this the end of the world, or are they going to make me get the shot, or whatever it is that, I mean, because there's all different opinions about all this stuff. I can get so stuck in our heads. Why is this? This is the realm of the enemy. He wants you to spin. He wants you to feel like you're out of control. But see, the thing is, though, the reality is that you're not in control. It's really nothing to do with your control. It really has to do with God and His power. He's almighty. And when you spend time with Him, you ever notice this? Like, when you're stressed out, and, like, you might even go to church because you're trying to be a good Christian, and you go to church, and you go on Sunday, and you're like, I don't want to worship. Like, if you're going to be honest, like, you might not feel like worshiping. And all of a sudden, you start, like, the music starts going, and people are looking at you, and you might feel a little bit awkward because you're not, like, you don't really want to engage. And so by peer pressure, you start putting your hands up, and you're like, inside you're sitting down, right? Probably sulking a little bit. And you put your hand up, or whatever, however you do it. Like, maybe it's like this one right here where it's like stops right here. Like, there's a ceiling, you know, or up on the hand or whatever. However you like to express your faith, you know, and praise and worship. And, but what happens is all of a sudden you start to feel a shift. Like, you might even be singing and you're like not even there and you start singing and then all of a sudden something shifts. You ever notice that? See, I want you to know that's the difference between being in the Spirit and not in the Spirit. And the thing is that here goes. So I'm going to, like, give you guys the hidden message of all this thing is that when God created the earth, He told Adam and Eve to multiply, that His face, that His goodness would multiply. The purpose behind this was that the glory of God would cover the earth, because we are the glory bearers. Romans chapter 8 says creation is waiting and groaning for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. So, like, this little light of mine, like, we're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We're meant to shine the glory of God. So that was it in even the Old Testament, back in Genesis. That was the whole goal of humanity. And it was to share a relationship with mankind. I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they were doing so awesome in heaven, hanging out with each other, like, we got so much love to give. So let's expand the family. Isn't this great? Like, and so mankind was an idea, you know, that probably around the dinner table, drinking coffee. You know, maybe had some scones. They're like, yeah, this is a great idea. And even though they saw that we were going to make a mistake, they said, you know what, we got to have such an awesome plan. This is so too good. We can't, like, let this, we can't let man screw this thing up. Jesus is like, all right, I'll go, and I'll restore them back to me. And this is Jesus. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, which is so mind-blowing. But we beat ourselves up, but before he even existed, he was like, we're such a good idea for Him that He was willing to lay His life down. And everything was perfect, right? Everything was just perfect. But there was something missing, which is kind of crazy to think about. So, fast forward, time and time again, you can see, like, in the Bible, there's pillars of fire, There's the glory of God. There's the fire of God and the presence of God. And all these things are representing God's goodness, His glory. Remember Moses? Old Mo is like, God, I want to see your goodness. I want to see your glory. And then God says, I'll let my glory pass by you, right? So what happened with him? He had the Mo glow going on, right? Like he was glowing. He was coming down off the mountain. Remember he had clothes like, you know, covered his face because he was glowing so much. That's the normal Christian life. To have that glow. In the midst of all the stuff. I mean, think about that. They're in a stinking desert. Like, seriously? If I go to a bad hotel and I'm traveling, I don't like it. You know? And, like, there's probably, like, scorpions out there in the desert. And, yeah, okay, they're eating heavenly manna, but maybe they got bored with eating the same thing over and over again. Right? And here's Mo hanging up with God. And he's so full. I mean, there's not even a conversation about him eating. You ever think about that? We think it was so hard for him to fast. I think he was so enamored, he couldn't eat. And he was eating with the fellowship of God. In the midst of all this. And it's so cool because you look at all these stories in the Bible about the desert. The desert is actually where we're meant to thrive. Every single time. Think about this. Okay, so we have the children of Israel. What happened? What was the ultimate thing about them coming out of the desert? What ultimately was meant to happen? Joshua chapter 1, right? Joshua chapter 1, no, he passed away. He didn't go into the promised land because he hit the rock, right? So, what's the first thing that happened? They were meant to go in and possess the land. This was the promise of Abraham, right? The Abrahamic covenant. So the whole idea was to get us through the desert and into the promised land. This whole picture of desert, over and over again, there's all these scriptures in Psalm about being in the desert and thriving in the middle of the desert. Because there's a tapping into the kingdom of God, regardless of your circumstances. The problem is the enemy wants you to look at the outer circumstances. Wow, that looks really bad, you know? And it could be really bad. Oh man, I don't know, like, I think we're going to die, you know. Sometimes we kind of get our heads about things. And yeah, sure, you can. But wouldn't it be so much better to come from a place where you are more blown away by God's goodness than the badness of the earth? Well, Darby, like, then you're just going to put your head in the sand and ignore everything? You're just going to... No, I'm saying you need to get your head in the clouds because you're seeing heavenly places. Like, it's got to be bigger than that. You're not just burying your head. You've got to get... come from such a perspective that the giants look like little itty-bitty cockroaches. That's the whole goal of this. Then we can change the world, right? So I've been thinking about this whole thing, like, what does it mean to thrive regardless of what's going on? Now think about this. One of the things just to prove my point, Jesus. What happened with Jesus? He gets baptized, right? He gets baptized. What's Father said? What's Papa said? Papa says, this is my son and who I'm well pleased. And what did he do? What did Jesus do to earn that? Nothing. That was before his ministry. You know, he was probably like making really awesome furniture. You know? Like, he just, you know, he took care of mom. Because dad died. You know? But that wasn't why Father said that to him. So he goes, what's the first thing when he's pleased? The Holy Spirit takes him to the desert. Didn't you see that scripture? It says he was pleased. So it's like, okay, hold on, so, come on, son, let's go out to the desert. Okay, wait a minute again, this is not how this works. So what happens? He goes out to the desert. He's fasting. But what happens when he leaves? He overcomes the enemy. He's filled with power. Right? Imagine if we can look at the world that way. Where everything works in your favor. Like the Bible really means what it says. That he makes all things work together for the good. Like, man, we got some checks to cash in, folks. We got a lot of things to cash in on right now. But that's your inheritance. The problem is why are we stepping into our inheritance? And this is why. This is why we're not living this abundant life. And so this is what I'm talking about. So James chapter 1. This is the key, actually. The key is this. Habakkuk 4:14 says, the glory of God fills the earth. That's the goodness of God fills the earth. So it says that one day there'll be the knowledge of the glory of God. Habakkuk 4:14. The knowledge of the glory of God will fill the earth. Do you know what the knowledge of the glory of God is versus the glory of God? The knowledge of the glory of God is knowing the glory of God experientially. So the world one day will experience, and they will experience the knowledge of God's goodness in the earth. Now, your theology says, well, the Antichrist is coming, and whatever the belief system you have, if it doesn't happen when the church is triumphant, you probably have the wrong theology. And it's okay, because how many other things will be screwed up? Right? We get hung up on things. So the thing is, it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Yes or no? When's the shelf life of that verse to end? Never. The word endures forever. Right? Am I too much to it? Am I good? Okay. Because I'm a little hyper right now. I start talking about Jesus and I get hyper. It's like, because this is the stuff that I think about. You know, and that's funny is I am quiet by myself. I'm an introvert. I'm an ambivert. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I like being with the people, and then as soon as they get away from them, I'm like, I love you, bye-bye. Right? And then I get my fill again, and hang up. And then I come in, I'm like, hey guys, what's up, man? Let's go! Jesus! Alright, so I've been thinking about this whole thing. So, I've been like, well, why are some people in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the desert, thriving, and some are not? What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is between those who tune in and have a perspective and they can see God's glory and those who have focus on themselves and see only their problems and their issues, their inward focus. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean on your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge Him. See, it's the acknowledgement. What are we acknowledging? If we're not acknowledging Him, then what are we acknowledging? Yeah, stuff. We can say other words too, probably. But this is church, so we're not going to. We can focus on stuff, right? We can focus on things. Stuff that's not even worth anything. It's refuse to Him. Right? We can look at Him in the middle of it. That is really the only difference. It talks about this in Scripture, how when we behold Him, we'll become like Him. When we gaze in His face, that's the glory of the Lord. We'll see the glory of God in Him and in us. That's how we know. It actually says,
let's see here. I have the scripture. So, the scripture I have is, John 10:10. Anyway, it says, that's okay. I have the scripture, but it talks about the looking at Christ and beholding Him. It all comes down to beholding Him. It all comes down to tuning into the glory of God. So the story that I was trying to say from the beginning that I lied about earlier, that I was going to tell you, was this one story. So I came back from a place of being burned out. I went to a school in California for 10 months, and I started to understand about the kingdom. I started having this time of deconstruction, like, everything that I thought that I believed, a lot of things were being dismantled. You ever go through those seasons where you start to, like, question things that you learned your whole life? Like, you ever have those moments? Like, and then all of a sudden something really big comes, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, am I even a Christian right now? Because if my former self would have heard this, or my old pastor would have heard this, they might have been like, Darby, you're kind of going off there, woo-hoo, crazy land. No, you start to realize the gospel is bigger than what you can imagine. So, I come home for Christmas. I'm there like third or fourth month. I come home for Christmas. I'm in California. I come back to Lancaster. And I'm actually in my old apartment that I gave my brother to. My brother took over my apartment when I moved out to California. So I'm having kids remember. So I'm going to tell you a little story. So I go back to visit my brother. And my brother is like struggling with drugs and alcohol. I had no place to stay. I had no money. So I was like, I'll sleep at the house, my old apartment. Boy, that was the worst decision I could ever make. It smelled like alcohol, there was drug use, and that night that I was staying there, my sister was there, she was high and drunk, and I'm there, and I'm like, man, like,
this is no good, you know? And so my sister and her boyfriend got in an argument, and this is a one-bedroom apartment. Like, there's no place for me to go. I'm in the kitchen. I go out on the roof because the roof is right out there. That's where I used to go out and smoke cigarettes. But now I can't go out there. I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. So, you know, and it was cold. And I remember hearing my sister and her boyfriend fighting. I mean, F this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm experiencing, you ever have those moments you experience God's glory, and then you're back? You're like, how did I get here? Like, this is awful, right? So what happened was my sister ran down the steps out to the city. Now, I want you to know, in the Lancaster, the city, the part of the city that I lived in, it can kind of get a little shady. And she went outside, and some guy tried grabbing her, and she came back upstairs, and she's like crazy, like crying and sobbing. And I said to her, and I want you to know, I was shaking. So I wasn't, I looked to be like a strong Christian. I just got back from discipleship school. I've been in a couple months, you know. But it was like, I was shaking, and I was like, Lord, as soon as I started focusing, I said to my sister, I said, Loretta, I said, this is, that's it. There were, my brother and her boyfriend are like laughing, just like loud, They were messed up. And so I said to my sister, that's okay, just sit down. I speak the shalom of heaven over you. I speak the shalom of heaven over the situation. And I said something along the lines of, I said, we don't have to come under this. And all of a sudden, I said, in Jesus' name, I said, in Jesus' name, brother, and whatever the boyfriend's name, I couldn't even remember. In Jesus' name, fall asleep. And all of a sudden, you hear, ha ha! They fell asleep that fast. I'm not even exaggerating. I have no idea. My mind does not make sense of that, because you think it would take a little bit. It was like, ha ha! It stopped in the middle. And so they're asleep. They're out. And you hear the sound of, like, I don't know how to explain it. It like a whirling sound. And all of a sudden, the apartment starts to fill with a cloud. Like a cloud in the apartment. Over in the ceiling. I'm like, what in the world? And it's the glory of God coming in the room. And I start crying. She's looking at it. She's crying. Because you can feel the presence of God. And you can feel the peace. You know that feeling of a freshly fallen snow and how everything kind of sounds muffled? It felt like that in the house. And it felt pure and clean, like snow in the house. And that was the difference between focusing on what the enemy wants you to focus on versus what the glory of God. And it can show up in dark places. And the darkness has, there's no competition. Like, you ever see that picture of Jesus and Satan arm wrestling? Never happened. There was no arm wrestling. It was like there was no competition. Like, Jesus laid his life down. He chose to lay his life down. No one put him on the cross. That was the biggest scam for the enemy. There you go. He flipped everything around on the enemy. He made everything work out for his good and for your good on that cross. So I've been thinking about this whole thing. I'm like, so what is the difference between someone that's living an abundant life versus someone that's living in scarcity and living in a place where they're scraping by and they're just in survival mode all the time? And they're in their amygdala. They're in their fight and flight mode. They're always ready to fight and run or cry. Because that was me for a long time. And I'm not trying to say I've never been there or I ever go there again sometimes, but that's not where I live anymore. I live in a place where my mind is at peace and I'm joyful. And it's not because of my circumstances. I just got done taking care of my parents. My parents had COVID. My mom almost died last week. There are people in this room, I'm sure you've had family members or friends or people that you know that have died from it, you know? But how can I have joy in my life? Because there's a kingdom that's bigger than all this stuff. It doesn't even come close to it. Like, now, if you think about this, okay? Just use our imaginations for a minute. If I were to have, you ever see these church things for a church building fund, and they have like the little thermometer, right? So let's say I have two thermometers, okay? And one of them shows the glory of God, and the other one shows the evil in the world. What do you think fills the world the most? Now, you would say that now, but in the beginning of this message, you may have not. You may have said, it's the darkness. I mean, if we really be honest about that, if we really think about this, we probably agree with that because that's what we're seeing. And that's where we live most of our... And I'm not trying to say I'm not trying to say you don't have the right perspective. I'm saying all of us can come into a greater understanding of the glory of God in all the earth. And the knowledge of the glory of God. Is what I'm saying make sense? This is where you're meant to live, out of this place. I'm not trying to say everything's perfect. You're meant to live in this place of glory. All the time, 24-7, streaming. You have the Holy Spirit through you. 24-7, He can't be any closer to you than... He can't be any closer to you. He's closer to you than a brother. Like, there's no one that can come even close to how close He is to you. And He's not going to go away. God the Father did not look away from the Son when He died on the cross because the sin was so bad. Like, that's not what happened. Jesus felt like He was separated in His mind. He experienced what we have experienced, where you feel separated from God. And the darkness, right? What happened? The darkness covered over the earth. Right? And what happened in that moment? That veil in that temple where the Kibbutz, the glory of God, the presence of God, that veil was ripped into two. And it was a prophetic sign that the glory of God will shine in all the earth. So what's the difference between the person that lives in a place of abundance versus scarcity? What is the person that lives from a place of healing and miracles and signs and wonders? And that's not even necessarily, I want you to know, you can move in all those gifts and still not have your heart right, okay? But there is something about living from that place of glory where things are just, the impossible is possible. And that's what we're meant to. We're naturally supernatural. And it's actually found in James chapter 1. And there's a spiritual law. So in Romans chapter 8, it talks about there's the law of life, and there's a law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. And so there's two different kingdoms. You're seeing the dark and the light, the glory and the gory, you know, whatever you want to call it, sin, right? So to live in that place with your mindset on Him, James chapter 1 says, don't be double-minded and expect anything from the Lord. So this is what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants you to be double-minded. He doesn't care if you're 50% Christian, like living 50% Christian and the other 50% atheist. Like, we would never say we're living atheists, but fear is actually saying that God's not good. I'm not saying bad Christians. I'm not saying you're all a bunch of rotten Christians. I'm saying fear is actually living out of the mind of the enemy. Okay? That's not to say you're bad or evil or any of those things. I'm just saying we need to have our minds renewed so much that there's nothing that the enemy can do to eat our lunch. That the goodness of God is not up for grabs. Can you ask questions? Yes, you can ask questions. You can be real with God. Absolutely. I'm not saying that there's not a process there. But I'm saying that if you understand, if we understand, if I understand that when I pray a prayer, I'm not praying for God to do something. He's already done everything. And all His promises are yes and amen. The problem is that we live in two different worlds. And what happens is we become unstable in all of our ways. That's what it says in James chapter 1. Are you guys going where I'm going with this? And this is the difference between those who are seeing the abundant life and those who are not. It's trusting the Lord with all of your heart, not on your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledging Him. Not acknowledging President Biden, not acknowledging President Trump, not acknowledging, and I'm not saying, all those things honestly can come from such a place of the kingdom, it's like nothing. Like in heaven right now, there is no nail biting at all. Like, God's not freaking out right now. And here's the cool thing is, works is seen in heavenly places. Now, you want to change the world? We got to come from that perspective. I'm not saying there's not evil things going on in the world, there's bad things, but I want you to know, the glory of God, we in Christ win.
Amen.
That's it. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. We already know the end of the book. Even if we have different interpretations, we can all come to the agreement that we win in Christ. Right? So, This is what I've been thinking about so much. Like, what is the difference? Now, I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to end on this. So we talked at the beginning about how Josh was going in to possess the land, right? Moses passed away, old Moses gone. Joshua was coming in, stepping in big shoes. He has a new leadership. Moses is the man. He's dead now. Joshua, thank God, he spent time in the tent of meeting in the presence of God. But he still felt ill-equipped to do the work of the Lord. Think about this. Millions of people going into a new land, fulfilling the inheritance, the promise made to Abraham, that they're going to go in and possess a land and eat of food they didn't plant, live in houses that they didn't build, right? But here's the thing, there's still giants in the land. And those giants were not just regular giants either. I just stumbled upon this recently. Some of those giants were man-eaters. Did you know that? Some of them were cannibals. Now that just takes the terror level to a whole new place. But if you remember Caleb and Joshua when they were 40 years old, when they were meant to go possess the land 40 years before with Moses, what did they say? They knew about the giants. You know what they said? We'll eat you for breakfast is basically what they said. Because they knew that God was greater. The glory of God was bigger. Right? That's the Old Testament. How much more so should we know this, right? And that's not to beat you up and say bad Christian. No. It's to say that we're meant to live for a greater glory. And we have the greater glory. So the key is how do we go in and possess the inheritance that God has for us. Now I want you to know, it's not just about you having your needs met and living in a really big crib and having a really nice... Honestly, I'll say this much. I believe that money and finances is something the church needs to get for themselves. They need to get an understanding of the kingdom because the enemy's come in and has messed up a lot of stuff. We need to understand what biblical prosperity is because we have work to do. We need money to do it. And money's the lowest level of the kingdom of God. It says, unless you take care of the earthly man, you can't handle the heavenly stuff. Right? So what the enemy wants you to do is be afraid to talk about money in the church. But here's the deal. So they're getting ready to go possess the land. And Joshua, God doesn't go in and say this. God doesn't go in and say, all right, so the enemies are really big. They're man-eaters. All right, so we need some tanks. We need some bazookas. Yeah, like at least a dozen bazookas. Yeah, and landmines. What else can we have?
Grenades.
Right, what's that?
Grenades.
Oh, grenades. That's really good. Grenades. Right? No, the conversation was completely different than what our natural mind would ever think to do. I'm going to read that here. We're going to end on this. Joshua chapter 1. It's so cool. Like, when you realize this, this is mind-blowing to me because it really doesn't make sense when you think about it. So Joshua chapter 1. So this is what it says. Remember, over and over again, Josh, he's like, be of courage, right? Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore go arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel, and every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses, right? So God has given this charge. So from the wilderness, and it goes on and on. So only be strong and courageous that you may observe all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded to you. This is the key. Verse 7. Only be strong and be very courageous that you observe according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or the left, that you'll prosper wherever you go. Okay? So this is, we're starting to get into how to possess the land. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night that you observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's what he told them to do, to go and possess the land. Do not let the word of the Lord depart from your lips. So what he's saying is, speak the word of the Lord and meditate on the law of the Lord. That's the key to our success. It's because the kingdom of God is right there, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. And when we start declaring the word of the Lord, now we're declaring the word of the Lord regardless of our circumstances. And there's two different realities going on. And we are coming from a superior reality. It says in Hebrews that there's two different kingdoms, right? One that's shakable, one that's unshakable. We come from the unshakable kingdom. The only reason why you're shaken is because you have some unshakable things. You have some shakable things inside of you. You get it? So he's like, Lord, go ahead, shake whatever's in me that's not of you. And this whole thing with COVID, yeah, it stinks. But you know what, though? My life for Jesus is on fire. Now, I don't think we have to live that way. I don't think it has to be that way. I don't think God, it has to be bad for us to have the goodness of God. But sometimes we just get caught up in being busy. Caught up in our own situations. Caught up in ourselves.
But the reality is this.
We have a kingdom that is unshakable. It's not even fair. Like, literally, it's not even fair. When you guys go into the workplace, greater is he that is with you, in you, than he that is in the world. Like, the enemy has nothing on you. Like, when you start coming from that perspective, it does something different to you. You hold yourself different. When you're thinking in a wrong mindset, you're thinking, man, I've been single for a long time. When's my man coming? You know? When's he coming? Where's my Boaz? You know? Like, where is he at? You know, you think, well, where's my wife? Where's my woman coming? Come on, Lord. Come on, time's taken away. I mean, or whatever it is, whatever promises and things that you might have prophesied over you, whatever things that you believe the Lord has for you, he's not holding anything back from you. But the reality is that we need to have his glory just take over our life. Because what happens is when you see with the glory of God, then you start seeing opportunities. You start seeing, like, what is he going to do? And here's something I've been practicing. I'm not saying I know 100%. I'm like, God. Something really bad happened. Like, God. Something really good is going to come out of this. Like, I might feel all my feelings, and that's okay. You might feel your feelings, and you might be a little bit, like, queasy or whatever, with whatever's going on. But the reality is you don't have to come into partnership with those things. You can come into partnership with his word. And his word is a rock. And when you come from that place, now you can declare the word of the Lord. I will meditate on it day and night. Now I'm going to end on this one last little factoid. This is crazy. So, the average person, there's this word called drifting. And it's specifically towards consciousness and mind and where your mind's at and mindfulness. But they say that the average person, they'll drift in their mind 90% of the day. You might be 10% focused. There are 30,000 thoughts in your mind in a day on the average person. Now, if I were to go and use that whole thing with the church thing, but use it for our thoughts of God and of ourselves, and then you wonder why you're depressed. You wonder why, because you're watching too much CNN, Fox News, or whatever else you're watching. Or you're looking at your bank account too much. Or you're looking at what the doctor has to say of your life too much. Or whatever that is. There's a kingdom. Yeah, you know what? We can live from a place of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, you know what? Hey, if we're going to die, we're going to die. You're not going to do anything to us. You can throw us in that furnace, but, you know, we're going to be with God. When we can get to that place. And what happened? In the middle of fire. There's a fourth guy there. Jesus. Same thing. Right? Even if we die. And so I want this to be a reality for us. That the reality of the kingdom is so much bigger and greater than anything. I mean, come on. Like, what would happen? Just imagine if you could get, like, that 10% of your thinking to 20% on God. What would that look like? Learn how to, and I think there's good things. Like, working out and eating healthy and going for walks and breathing, I think there's a lot of good things that we can do that God's given to us. There's tools that we can use. But ultimately, it comes down to His Word and declaring His Word and meditating on His Word. That's the prosperous life. That's John 10:10. And so what I believe is I believe that you guys in this region, like, I don't know where you guys, I don't know some of you guys, some of you guys I do know, but no matter where you're at in this region, we're the representatives. We're the ones, we're the bearers of the good news. And if you're discouraged, I believe the Lord wants to encourage you and that you can walk and be in good courage and be courageous because you have a land that's sitting right in front of you. And He has your inheritance, and you don't have to earn your inheritance with Him. It's declaring the word of the Lord over this region, over your family, over your life, over this church, over that church. I honestly believe that the church is like, we are like on the verge of the biggest breakthrough. It's already happening. There's actually movement happening right now in upstate New York. If you look back in history, that's when Charles Finney, I mean, if you ever look at the stories of Charles Finney, if you ever look at revival history, look at what happened with Charles Finney. You know, who's Charles who? Check him out. Your world will be rocked because you hear stories. The glory of God was so thick that followed him in a 50-mile radius. When people would go into that radius of 50 miles where he was at, they would feel the tangible presence of God. They would come in and they would go to go make fun of him. They got in their horse and buggies, and as soon as they got over a bridge, there's a story of them being transformed in the middle of the bridge on a horse and buggy when they were going to mock Charles Finney, upstate New York. I had goosebumps just thinking about that. The glory of God is going to be greater than that. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I do believe it's the movement. It's the people's movement. It's us. Realizing, man, we have everything we need. We have everything that we need and then some. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, you know, we think the word of God, we declare the word of the Lord. It also says, Paul tells Timothy to make warfare with his prophetic words. You got the rhema, you got the logos. You guys have more than enough. Over 800 promises in the Bible. There's over 800 names of God. And they all represent different characteristics about him. I mean, like, you guys, we got it made. We have it made.
Getting all hyper talking about Jesus. So what I'm going to do here,
I have a couple words that I want to release tonight, and I have a lot of energy, so I'll probably give you the same word I would normally give if it's 5 minutes in like 1 minute and 30 seconds. So I might sound like a one of those prescription commercials. So you might want to record it and then slow it down later on. What did he say? So I do want to encourage you. I know it sounds weird, but if I do give you something, or actually record it, because you may hear something you never thought you'd ever hear, and you feel like, what's prophetic? What is that? Really, the prophetic is what it says in the Bible, John, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, in the Gospels, it talks about how we're His sheep and we're meant to hear God's voice. I believe God's still speaking today.
All right, so
it's getting crazy now. Uh-oh. The vest is coming off. Matt's getting crazy over here, buddy. All right.
I don't look cool right now with all this wire, but it's okay.
Still pretend it doesn't exist. All right, here we go. So, a couple things I feel like I have. By the way, I've seen more prophetic words take place in the past 2 years than I have in my whole life. And this is, if we just take the times of the prophetic, more has happened in the past 2 years of hell. Heaven's coming through even more. Right? We have to have ears to hear and eyes to see. It's like he's speaking and things are happening. I just gave a word to a guy. I just got on the phone with him today. I didn't even meet the guy. I've been teaching myself in the past year. I'm going to learn stuff while I'm like sitting at home. I learned how to build websites and stuff. And like, yeah, so I have time during the week. I could go build websites and make some money on the side and then preach on the weekends. When I go to, this guy gets introduced to me, but I never talked to him on the phone. And I was like, I had a word for this guy. Never talked to him. Don't know anything about him except for he has a web agency. Because if God's going to give you, you're going to double your business, and God's going to take a man that will take you under his wing and will show you the ropes, and you're going to skyrocket in your business. Less than 24 hours. He got that message probably in the evening after he worked around 6 p.m. By the next morning, at around 9 or 10 a.m., he goes to this company where he usually gets work. He pays for the work to be done, but they buy it from him. He has what they call white labeling for signs. Well, the guy says, hey, after they did the receipt and paid the guy, the owner says, come here, can you come outside? And then he goes and says, hey, I'm getting ready to retire. And I'll let take you under my wing for the next year, and I would like you to buy this business out from under me, and I'll give you a really good price. The next day! And I'm not saying that to brag, I'm saying, like, God is like, I'm not trying to say that you're going to have your man tomorrow. I'm not trying to say that all your problems are going to... But listen, but what if it did? What if it did? You ever have those times in your life where something just suddenly comes and it changes your life? In good ways, not just bad ways. Right? We need some more good things to happen, right? So I got something for you. Did I read your word before? Yeah? Did I read before? I did? Okay. So, I apologize, but I want you to know, like, I got so many things inside of me right now for you. One of the things I see is immense favor on your life. Like, you are a magnet. Like, wherever you go, people are drawn to you. People feel safe around you. And they'll just start talking, they'll start confessing their sins. Right? And they'll just like drop stuff off. And it's like, okay, now what? You know? And part of that is that you have the spirit of counsel in your life. And I also believe that you bring the peace of God. And one of the things I believe that you're to do is that you're going to help set people free and have their hearts get healed up. I also see a favor here with, I don't know if it's like, I'm not saying you have to go into children's ministry, but I see kids around you. I feel like even like teens and preteens, I feel like there's a favor there for you. I'm not saying you don't start youth ministry, but I feel like there's something on there, and I see you sharing. I feel like you're going to have moments you're going to share stories. That's why I feel like how you're going to reach people is just by sharing stories of what God's done for you. And I see people's lives being transformed. Right now, you might feel like you're kind of like in between things and transitions, and it's like what part of you is like stepping into the thing, even deeper into the things of God that you feel like you're called to do, but you know that you want to have more autonomy to be able to step into those things. So I feel like if this time period is that you're going to cross over a bridge. And this bridge is going to be a temporary change to where you're at right now, in the position and where you're at, and you're going to come out on the other side, and it's going to give you the autonomy to be able to do what's in your heart to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. And so that bridge is going to look different than where you're at. It's going to be where you don't have to think through things and solve a bunch of stuff and do what you're good at. It's going to be, you're going to get taken care of, so that way you have that to be able to dream with God. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, I feel like, I don't think you're going to, I think this is within months of happening. Maybe. At the most. That's my sense. Now, I still have to work through sometimes the prophetic with timing, but I feel like it's really close. I really do. Yeah. I got something. for you. What's your name?
Terry.
Terry? Oh, Terry. Oh, Terry. Wow. First of all, man, God has done so much. Like, it's like you're going through a lot of changes. And you're growing in, like, leaps and bounds. It's like, sometimes it might not feel like it. Because you're like, come on! Let's do this, right? But you're in a season of, like, it's like, you're going to have these spurts of just like, yeah! And then all the moments you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, and the Lord's like, just calm down. You're going to be good. And what's going to happen is you're going to come to a place where you're going to find yourself, like, you're going to feel really grounded. Like, immensely grounded. And you're going to look back because things are going to happen around you. And you're not going to be rocked by it. And people are like, what's wrong with Terry? Like, why is she not freaking out right now? Right? And so I want you to know the Lord wants to show off with you. Like, he wants to show off. Like, first of all, like, he's showing you the kingdom of God. Like, it's like you're coming into understanding the kingdom in a whole new way, understanding miracles, signs, and wonders, and stuff that you would never have thought about before, and stuff you wouldn't think about. And then God's just like with his tractor beam pulling you in, and you're just like sucked into it. But you're like, you're meant for this. You're meant for this. You're not meant to do things the way other people do them. So I see this picture. I see you like cleaning and making things clean and nice and neat. Like you have that this you have a really strong work ethic. And whatever you put your hands to, you do it in excellence. And the Lord says, this is what the Lord says about you. He says, I see it. So everything smells good. Look, I mean, if something you know the 5-second rule, if something falls down on the floor, you have like a 15-second rule. Because of how clean you are. But I believe that this is going to be where the Lord's going to start showing you some things. And I feel like some of your gifting in this area is going to open up doors for you. And I believe that financially, you're coming to your biggest breakthrough you've ever come into. Yeah. Yeah. Upgrade. You're going to be like, what in the world's going on here? I'm blessed everywhere I go. I cannot escape the blessing of God. Yeah. The word of the Lord, that's the other part. You're going to understand the scriptures even more. Maybe sometimes you're reading, you're like, I don't understand what's going on here. God is unlocking you, and you're going to see in such crazy way. You're going to, get revelation. Revelation. Terry's going to say something like truth bombs. What in the world? You're going to be shocked at what comes out of your mouth because you're learning that you're being spirit-led, and you are spirit-led. Cool. Yeah, so that's what I have for you, Terry.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Fun, huh? I got something for you, bro. So, the Lord just says to me, he's like, he's the man for the job. The Lord is able to say, he's a man for the job. He's a man for the job. So I just feel like the Lord wants you to know is that he's giving you everything you need to possess the land. And you have everything you need inside of you. And even at times, if you feel like, I'm not sure if I'm equipped enough for this, for what the Lord's showing me, the Lord's like, you have everything. What's going to happen is, in this season, you're going to have things that will come to the surface, and you're going to be like, how in the world did I do this? And you're going to realize, First of all, the Lord wants you to know is that you have Holy Spirit genius. You have the mind of Christ. And so you can't any longer look at your limitations of what you can and cannot do. You're kind of stuck now. You get what I'm picking up what I'm throwing down? Yeah, you kind of got screwed up there. But it's okay because now you're going to take yourself out for a test drive. And God's going to give you opportunities. You have plenty of opportunities now. But you're going to have even greater opportunities to step into the genius of God. And, you're the kind of person that will sit back and listen to other people's ideas and be like, I wish I would have had that idea. But now what the Lord's going to do is you're going to start having this stuff bubble up in you, and you're going to say it, and people are like, what in the world? And you're not going to be stuck on yourself. You're just going to start feeling, the Lord wants you to be, feel more confident. And he wants you to carry yourself in such a way. You are not a weakling by any means. You have the Word of God dwelling richly. You are wealthy. You are beyond wealthy of the Word of God. And so what the Lord wants you to do is he wants you to know that he's giving you everything you need, and you have everything you need, and it doesn't take more knowledge. You know, because we want to grow and learn, and then we get stuck in that knowledge thing. We're always like studying. And that's all good, but the Lord's like, no, you're going to start taking things out for a test drive, and you're going to come into a place of wisdom. And you're going to have words of wisdom. That's a prophetic utterance. It's not a prophetic word. It's a revelatory way of solving problems that you have no reference experience of. And it's going to come in such crazy ways. What you have inside of you is you have strategy. You would not look at yourself as a strategist, but you have the strategy of God inside of you. And what I believe the Lord is going to do is he's going to show you things. And I don't throw this term around often, okay? And I'm just telling you, there's an apostolic thing in your life, too. You got a pastoral thing. You got some apostolic. And what that means is over the region, there's things that God's releasing through you. And he brought you into the right place with the right people that speak life into you and that believe in you. Even when you don't believe in yourself. It's like you got some good people around you. But now is a time for you to see traction in ways you've never seen it before. Watch and see what it's going to do. It's going to be good. Really good. Yep. I got something for you. What's your name?
Angela.
Now, I've given you a word before, haven't I?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's like I'm just hearing the Lord. It's like he's talking about you, Angela. She's like, do you see the strength in her? And the Lord's like, he's bragging about you right now. He's saying you've grown immensely. And you've gotten stronger. And where you felt like nothing was going right and like everything was blowing up around you even 2 years ago, like even though you went through that and those things and then go through the pandemic and here you are, you have strength inside of you. You have a greater confidence inside of you. It's like you've been hanging out with Jesus or something. Right? Yeah, you've been hanging out with Jesus. It's like your cup is full. You're not empty. You know how to drink of the Lord. But what I believe is happening for you is that there's stuff going to start rising up out of you. I hear, and I don't know anything about you. I feel like there's going to be songs that come out of you. I feel like there's going to be songs and melodies. I don't even know if you sing. It doesn't matter if you think I can't carry a tune. I feel like you're going to start singing. I feel like you're going to start writing lyrics. I feel like you're going to start writing, like, poems. Like, you have the romance. You have that romance of the king all over you. It's like Song of Solomon. Like, that's the book. And I just see you writing these. I see you learning how to play instruments. And I feel like there's this worship inside of you that's going to grow. You're going to be like, I didn't even realize I can even do that. What was the name of the couple? My wife got filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't remember. But anyway, the one woman in this worship team didn't even realize she could sing. And her voice is stellar. So I'm pushing it, because I usually don't push it that much. And I want you to know, the Lord is going to show you this, but I feel like there are songs inside of you. And I don't say you have to be next famous worship leader, but I feel like there is something to this, very strongly. Yes, I mean, God's got so many awesome things for you. Like, really awesome things. Like, I see you around the campfire. I see you around the campfire, and I see you with, like, all these awesome Jesus lovers around you. And I see this family. I see you with this family. And I see you in your home. And I see you bringing people to the Lord. The joy of the Lord, your love for God, is people are just going to be enamored by it. It's already happening. It's like you can't escape it. That whole magnetism I talked about, that's in you too. It's like you go places. People are like, what's going to come around you? Now you're speaking into people's lives where you used to be. Right? And you say, I got through that. And that's what I see. I see this coming up for you. Yeah. What's your name?
Rhoda.
What is it?
Rhoda.
Rhoda? Did I ever meet you before, Rhoda?
One time? In
Reading. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So, this is what I believe I hear the Lord saying for you. First of all, I'm seeing this really cool picture. It's like I'm seeing all these bags of groceries. And it's like you're getting all these groceries for people. And you're a planner. And you're trying to always find ways to bless people. Like, that's your giver. You have a heart of a giver. And you're like, how can I bless people? And you think about people that are poor and how you can bless people and how you can reach people. You have a heart of evangelist inside of you. And I see you reaching people by reaching their bellies. I see God sending you on little missions. You're going to go places. You're like, okay, I'm going to go buy these groceries. I'm going to buy these groceries. And then you're going to drop them all somewhere. You're going to like do like these crazy little missions. But what's happening is this is a season for you to realize that you can hear the voice of God. Yeah, like really good. Like, there's a lot going on there. I don't see this being unlocked until right now, in Jesus' name. And so all of a sudden, you're going to start having the dreams. You're going to start having the visions. You're going to start having these thoughts. And it's just going to come to you, and you're going to say it, and you're going to accidentally prophesy all the time. They might even call you the accidental prophet, but it's going to happen. You're just going to prophesy. You're like, what? Yeah, you're going to be surprised by it. You're going to say something. You're going to think of something, and then you're going to realize that you're in the flow. There's a spiritual, prophetic flow that we can come into. And that's what I see happening for you. Yeah? Yeah?
I just almost bought 100 pounds of potatoes today or yesterday, to give out.
It's like the Holy Spirit knows you or something. I don't get memos. Nat doesn't tell me what's going on. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Got something for you. I just hear the Lord saying, you're accepted, not rejected. The enemy always comes at you with rejection. And you are a brilliant man. You have so much inside of you, and the enemy wants to isolate you. He wants you all to himself. He wants to bring discouragement on you and make you feel like you're alone. But that's not your life. That's not your future. I see community. I see people around you. I feel like you don't do things the way that you do that. You're kind of weird. So am I. Yeah, that's what I say. Exactly. Yeah. So, but I see you like, I feel like that the word I hear for you is it's a time for you to embrace who you are in a deeper level and to be embraced by the body of Christ. I'm just going to say this. Hugs, love, The Lord just loves you so much. And I speak the life of Christ in your body. There's words that have been spoken of you, and they have not been abandoned. I don't care. COVID happened, and health problems happened. But Lord, I speak the life of Christ in his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And I say, Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for healing this man right now. The life of Christ going through his body right now. Thank you, Lord. Rejection has no place over him. Carl, you're not a man of rejection. You're a man of acceptance. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are beloved. You have a man. You're a man after God's own heart. We want to speak that life into you. And that this will be a time of encouragement. And this will be a time of sweet sleep. No darkness or fog shall come over you. And I speak that just there will be a clearness. And I speak the peace of God, the shalom of heaven, destroy chaos. That teacher's heart meant to come out. That heart of a discipler is meant to come out. And so, Lord, we speak the destiny over Carl's life. And we say that no hell will get in the way. Lord, I thank you, God, for restoration of relationships. I thank you, God, that you're a restorer of relationships. I thank you, God, that Carl is not going to feel like on the outskirts, but he's going to feel like he's on the inside. Because that's where he is, in the middle of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. With his brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, that you have a plan for him, a plan to prosper him. Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, he has a heart. He has a heart that loves. He loves. Lord, he has a heart to be loved. Thank you, Jesus, for the life of Christ going through his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for all the darkness to go, confusion to go. Robert is a man of a sound mind. I break off all things that have been spoken about him, and things that he believes that people speak about him. But Lord, I pray that he'll hear your voice like never before. That these ears would hear your voice, and that Robert would be blown away by hearing your voice. Thank you, Lord God, that he is an important part of the body of Christ. Robert, I see you picking up, like, you care about the little things that other people might not notice. I see you picking things up. I see you taking care of things, like you take out the trash, and people might not notice that. But the Lord says, I see you. You have a servant's heart. And Lord, I bless Robert, Lord. And I bless him in Jesus' name. What's your name?
Jonathan.
I met you before, didn't I?
No.
I thought I know you.
I don't know.
Man. All right. So Jonathan?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What do we have for Jonathan? Gotcha. So the word I hear over you, I actually see the word over you. It's cool because it looks like your tattoos. The word that's tattooed over your head is the word loyalty. You're a man of loyalty. And even when you didn't feel like other people were loyal to you, you still had loyalty. The Lord says, Jonathan, I'm loyal to you. And I was there for you, even in the darkest place. And even at times when you felt like you were alone, I was right there with you. You've been in the trenches. You've been in the foxholes. The Lord says, I was there with you. I was there with you when the bullets were zipping by your head and you felt like you were just the enemies that would overtake you and that you weren't going to make it. I was with you in those dark places. And as I speak over you, Jonathan, this is going to be a time of like rest and peace over your mind. And that you will not have fear overtake you. You're not crazy. I break off any trauma off of you in Jesus' name. You are a man of power, love, and sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. He has a heart. He has dreams for his future, and he wonders sometimes, can I even do that with everything going on in my life? The Lord is bringing restoration to you, Jonathan. I thank you, God, for Jonathan. Jonathan, you are a warrior, but you're a lover. You war out of a place of love. I see you speaking into people's lives that feel rejected. I see you speaking over people's lives that they felt like they fall between the cracks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For Jonathan. He is a protector. He is a man of freedom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this season. Lord, while we're at it, Lord, I thank you, God, for an opportunity for him, Lord. Lord, that he would feel like he has a purpose. I pray, Lord God, that he would have an opportunity to open up for him. And Lord, where other people say that maybe you're not in the right place right now, Lord, I just still say, Lord, that he would be blessed with an open door. Lord, I thank you, God, for all his needs being met and then some. In Jesus' name, amen. What I have for you. I mean, I'm almost done. I'm going to just finish. So the word that I have for you, brother, is the word wisdom. I feel like that you are a man of wisdom and you have a lot to share. And I don't know if I ever told you this before, but I'm seeing it now. But I believe that there's words that you're meant to write. There's experiences that you're meant to tell. There's stories that you're meant to share. And I feel like that this is a season of expressing the things that God's put inside of you. He put so much inside of you. It's like packed. There's so much wisdom there. But here's the thing. The wisdom that you have is going to come it's going to be helpful in ways that you never could have imagined it to be used for. I believe that some of what I'm seeing God open up doors outside the church. And I feel like there's wisdom that you're going to share. And maybe it's just relationships with people that have nothing to do with God. I feel like that what you carry is the wisdom of God in such a way that when people hear it, that even if they were atheists, that they're going to hear what you have to say and they're going to come to know Him as you share the wisdom of God. Like, how's this coming out of this guy? All this wisdom. How in the world does he have this? You have the wisdom, just like Solomon. You have Christ, who is your wisdom. And I believe that there's going to be things, there are going to be puzzles to solve. There's going to be riddles to solve. There's going to be things that people can't figure out how to make things work. And the Lord's going to give you the solutions. And that's where the wisdom's going to shine like never before in this season. And that's what I have for you. Yeah? Well-seasoned. Well-seasoned. Hey. I mean, I might as well just go. I mean, I don't have that many people here. This is what happens when you show up on Saturday night. So there's so many cool things here. Like, it's like the thing that I see when I look at you is I see royalty. And it's so cool, like, I don't know, like, what the royalty in a one time period of what the Russians were, but I see, like, in this Russian kind of dress, like, and you have, like, all these jewels, and it's just, like, I feel like there's just this sense of royalty on you, very strong. It's like this, I want you to know, the picture I'm seeing is so stunning. What I believe is, I believe that the Lord is really showing you the royalty that you have and that you're someone of worth. You can't even imagine how much you're worth to Him. Like, when He saw you on the other side of the cross, He's like, I'm going to do whatever I can to have her in my life. He pursued you. Even in the dark places, huh? Even when you weren't seeking Him, He was seeking you. He pulled you up out of the muck and mire. Psalm 40. He pulled me out of the pit. He heard my cry. He cleaned me up and put a new song in my mouth. Psalm 40, that's what I see over you. He put me on the rock. So I see the stability that you're coming into. You're so valuable. You're so valuable that you're learning not to settle for peasants. Now we give them grace. Because they don't know their identity. But your royalty. Are you picking up on the phone again? Yeah. Yeah. The Lord's like, don't settle. You're worth so much. Yeah. I really feel like this season is, you're going to come to understand things about yourself that you never knew was there. I don't mean this in a weird way. You're not just a pretty face. You have such a deep well inside of you. You have so much that God put inside of you. And the people in the past want to possess you and own you. And you are meant to be a free woman. Wild. For the Lord. Dancing with the Lord. Right? You're not meant to do things like other people. That's why you hang up with her. And then you got her, triple threat. But you're discovered giftings about yourself you never knew were there. I believe that the word that I have for you is healing. I believe that you're going to bring emotional healing to people. But I also believe you're going to bring physical healing.
yourself studying in this season, learning. Mm-hmm. Not things you never thought you'd ever learn. I think things are going to unfold for you over the next 12 months that you're going to be surprised and shocked by, in a good way. Yeah. That's what I have for you. You're welcome. You think it'll be you, but it's not you yet. Mm. But I will come back to you.
Okay.
I promise. It's in the crock pot right now. If you have it too soon, it's going to be too raw.
Yes.
You know? Oh, that's an uncooked potato. What's your name?
Amber.
Amber? I've never met you before, have I? Amber. Amber. Oh, Amber. What do we have for Amber? Wow. Amber, you just have a way of doing things your own way. Yeah, you're trying to be all quiet back there, but inside, you are a lioness. You got so much inside of you. You got so many good things inside of you. I mean, first of all, what I hear about you is that you're honest, that you are a good friend. And you have that, Jonathan, that loyalty on you too. You have loyalty in you. Even when your heart was abused. What was like, I'm going to show you what real love is. And so I feel like this season is a metamorphosis season. And it's like you're starting to learn things about your identity. The things that you thought you were, you're like, I was never those things. I see like the heaviness that tries to come over you, the cloud coming off of you. And I see the light of God going through you. And laughter. Like deep belly laughter. Like snorting laughter. That's what I speak over you. The joy. Like this, like, yeah. Like you're just like, you know, you're like laughter where your face will hurt. Like, what is she doing? Why is she smiling right now? I'm just so happy. You know? It's like, I know it was back in the day what it meant to be like a drinker. You know? Back in the day. Now I really know what it's like to be a drinker of the Holy Ghost. And so I see you like pounding them down in Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. For my sister, Lord, I thank you, God, that she is getting breakthroughs in her identity. Lord, that she's strong, courageous. She's fun. She's got a lot of fun. She's like got all these really fun ways of thinking, different perspectives. Lord, you've given her so much inside of her. Thank you, Lord. I bless her, Lord. I thank you, God, that she's coming into understanding the mysteries of who she is. And sometimes she confuses herself about herself. But Lord, that's not just her. That's all of us. But Lord, I pray that, Lord, that she would experience the height and the depth and the width of your love like never before. Yeah. Here's something else. I believe this is my sense. I believe that God is opening up a door. I'm going to tell you what the door, what I believe the door is. I have no idea what kind of work you do or anything about you. But I feel like there's a career opening up for you. There's something opening up for you. A big opportunity. And you're going to go in there, and when you have this opportunity, you're going to be like, this is what I've been looking for and what I've been working for. Because God has been knowing all the stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I see a lot of prosperity over you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that twinkle in your eye. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I got something for you. Yes.
Great.
Yes. You're a glory girl. I just,
Honestly, this is what I see. I see encounters with God. I feel like that this is going to be a season that you encounter him in the bedroom like never before. I see you on your face worshiping the Lord. You're like David. You'll just get undignified to the Lord. You're like, shh, don't tell everybody my secrets. But I believe that you are about to see the biggest breakthroughs in your life than ever before. Your family, there's some things that God's doing in your family. And it might seem like it's going the opposite direction. But the Lord's like, no, I'm answering her prayers. Yeah?
Yep.
Every single one of them.
I agree.
I thank you, God, for restoration of family. I thank you, God, for homecoming in Jesus' name.
Amen?
Amen. I was hoping that you were going to come out here. I saw you in there. I got something for you. What's your name?
Avalon?
Adeline? That's a cool name.
It's pretty.
Adeline. That is such an awesome name. What do we have for Adeline? Wow, there's so much about Adeline. Like, the word I hear for you is creativity. Wow, in all different kinds of ways. It's like, I feel like you have a whole bunch of, like, creativity inside. I feel like there's music and dance and it's like writing and drawing. And I feel like there's so much inside of you that you want to express. I see this expression of God. See this flower that you have on your sweater? I believe that's you. You're blossoming in this season. I see you just like, you're just like, what can I create? I'm going to say something here. This might not be what you're doing now, but I see you taking pictures and photographs. I see you like looking at things. I see you writing stories. I see you doing all this creative stuff. And I just hear the Lord saying that you are going to come into your coolest and most amazing friendships ever in the season. But what's going to happen is you're going to experience God in ways that people are like, what is she doing? Like, how is she experiencing God? I just walked in there and the Lord showed me. The Lord wants to show you himself. He wants to show you himself. And I believe you're going to have dreams. You're going to have these crazy dreams. You're going to have, oh, I had this dream. And it's going to be prophetic. You are prophetic. Yeah. Dreams and visions. You'll see pictures. And you'll feel things about people too. Like you can tell if someone's off, if someone's their heart's broken, you can feel it. And it's in there. It's in the inside of you. Yeah, that's what I see for you. Not so painful? Right? Not so bad? Yeah. Yeah. What's your name?
Jenny.
Jenny? Mm-hmm. Jenny? I just feel like this is like, you're coming into like this new era. And it's like you're just getting sucked up into the kingdom. And it's funny because you might have thought it was one thing, and God showing you something completely different than what you thought. But it's because your heart, this is like GPS, God's positioning system. So like, you're being led by God, even when you didn't realize you're being led by God. You got a mama's heart. You got a big, big mama's heart. I feel like what I see you doing is I see you adopting people. I feel like you're going to have spiritual sons and daughters. I see you just encouraging people, hugging them. Your hugs are going to bring people freedom. Your love is going to bring people freedom. You know what that means? That means you're going to experience the love of God in a deeper way than ever before. You're going to be a puddle in his presence. And you know what's so crazy? Is that you don't do anything half-heartedly. Like, if you're going to go in, you're going all in. Some people might have thought that you played things safe. You're not safe, and you don't play things safe. Because who you really are, a little bit of a rebel there. coming out. It's coming out of you. Your voice is, you're finding your voice. You're finding your voice. You're finding what you believe about God and about the kingdom. And it's like you know there's more. I want you to know that you're not a wallflower. You're in the party. You're part of the party. You're with us. You're a world changer. Yeah. Yeah, keep on hanging with crazy people like this. You're going to give them a run for their money. I got something for you. Yeah. What I believe I hear the Lord saying is there's a breakthrough you're coming into. It's a word I hear for you, empowerment. Like, you've had some empowering things happen. You are an overcomer. And you've had to overcome a lot. And just when you thought you'd break and then you're broken, you keep on getting back up. You got a little stubborn in you. It's good. There's just tenacity inside of you. But the Lord wants you to know. I don't know anything about you in this way. The Lord wants you to know that He has all your needs and then some. And there's His plans for you. And your plan is not just to survive. I believe that you're going to do things with your family for the kingdom. It's not like other people. Like, you have a bunch of fiery ones. You've been instilling in them the love of God. And I want you to know that there's plans for you. And I see it. I'm going to tell you, like, you might not be able to imagine this now. I see God taking you around the world. I see you taking you to different countries with your family. Your whole family. Yeah. Taking your family with you. It's going to be crazy because some of this family you haven't even met yet. It's going to be really good. And I'm going to tell you, this is what I believe is happening for you. This is a picture I'm seeing. I see you online. And I see you learning. And I see you empowering yourself. And what I believe is happening is God's changed your paradigm. A lot of changes in your mindset. But the Lord is going to show you that you're part of the solution. You're part of the bigger picture. And there's reasons why you come to understand what you know. Because you're part of the change that the Lord is bringing in the earth. And you're a part of that transformation. That's what I have for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, I got a whole... Oh, there you guys go. Hi. All right. Celebration. Celebrate good times. Come on. Yeah. I see you celebrating. This is a season of celebration. Listen, I see you dancing. I see you. Woo! Because you're about to come. You're about to cross the finish line of some things, and you are about to see the biggest breakthrough that you've never thought it even be possible. You knew it was possible, but going back and forth, the Lord's like, nope, breakthrough. Hey, breakthrough. You're about to tell the greatest story of God's breakthrough for your life.
I've had some good ones.
Well, this has got to be a really, really good one. All right. All right. So, what do we have? Wow. So you've had some growth in your life, too. You're a lot more strong. You might be short, but you're tall inside. Yeah. It's muscles in there. because you're growing. And you're knowing who you are. And you're knowing, like, it's grown inside of you. You're not swayed so easily. You're wise. You got wisdom. You got strength. You know? And sure, you're a big feeler. You'll feel things. You'll have moments of emotion. But think about this. You don't sweat like you used to. You're getting to a place you're being grounded and rooted, right? Yeah. That way you can scare away all the creeps. I believe that you are a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. I believe there's you can't dream big enough for what God has for you. Right now, your family's being taken care of. You got everything you need. But I want you to know that you're meant to be a disruptor. Yeah. You got a little bit of a Heidi Baker in you that going to the nations. I'm not saying you have to go to the nations, but there's probably going to be some of that going on. I see God surrounding you with, well, he already has him surrounding you around some powerful people. But I see that growing for you. And I see God connecting the dots. And I see 5 years down the road, it's like, you're going to come back and say, Darby, you'll never believe. I'm like, yeah, I saw the picture. You're powerful. You got a lot. God has a lot for you. Don't settle. I don't think they'll let you. You guys want me to give you a word? I'll give you one. If you want me to, I'll give you one. Can I give you one? Okay, what's your name again?
Aaliyah.
Let's see. What's your name?
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah. Such a cool name. Wow. So this is a picture I see for Aaliyah. I see this. I see you jumping. I see you doing somersaults. I see you doing all these really cool moves. And I believe that you are about to meet some of your bestest friends ever. Well, the Lord wants you to know, He loves you. He loves you so much. He protected you. He's protected you many times. Yeah. And you saw, and my sense is that you've seen God's healing. You've seen God heal people. And have you seen that before? I believe you have. I believe that you're going to pray for people that are sick, and they're going to get well. So as soon as you hear someone getting sick, you pray for them, in Jesus' name, be healed. I believe you're going to see healing happen. Yeah. I also believe the Lord wants to help you with school. If you feel like you're stuck, the Lord says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you. That's what I see for you. So is this your little brother? What's your name?
Simon.
Simon? Simon. Wow. I see you reading. I see you reading really well. I see you reading books. I believe you're really smart. You're very smart. You have a good heart, too. You really care about people. You love people. You love them. And you'll talk to adults, even if you get nervous. And I see you doing really well in school with the teacher. What else do I see for Simon? Yeah, Simon, I just believe that you're going to build things. I see you building things, like making things out of Legos. I see that God's giving you a really smart mind to solve problems. Here I see you building things and making things with duct tape, and I see you like doing stuff with boxes and making all this really cool stuff. Because you're a creator, that's what you are, and you're a storyteller. So that's what I hear from you. God loves you. You know that, right? He loves you. Like, He wants to be your best friend.
Duct tape asleep all over in bed.
Is
the
it?
Serious one, yes.
That is cool. That is cool. So I got everybody. Hallelujah. Matt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you, I'm going to give you a word tomorrow, right? Is that how that works?
I don't know. I don't know how that part's working.
Well, come up here.
All right.
So I haven't seen you for how long? How long has
it been? A while. There was a pandemic.
Yeah. Just little things. So I just want you to know, like, I believe it's like this picture I see for you is I see you like settling in the groove, and I see it's almost like a needle to a record, and I feel like that you are now hitting your groove, which is really cool because the music that's going to come out of you in this season is going to bring people into the kingdom. And they're going to hear the sound that you have to release. And it'll be done through music. And it'll be done through your words. It'll be done from what you write. I just see you, I feel like this is a time of creation. This is a time of transformation through creation. And I believe that you are going to be a beacon to those who have creative spark in them. And I see you fanning the flames of people. And I see people coming around, and I see you teaching in ways that you've never taught before. And I see giftings being released from you that you never knew before. And I also believe that you're going to see the favor of man that you've never seen before. And this is a time and a season for you to know the value of what you carry more than ever before. And so, Lord, I bless Nat. I bless his wife. I bless his family. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are setting him up, Lord God, for good. And Lord, I don't know anything what's going on in his life financially, but I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I pray that this place, and I know he never told me to say anything, I don't know anything, Lord, I pray that there'll be enough finances going through this house and through the ideas that Matt has, because he has a lot of them. But Lord, I pray that they'll get traction. Lord, I thank you, God, for multiple streams of income. Lord, I thank you, God, that this place is going to have more than enough. I thank you, God, for all the vision that you've given him. And I thank you, God, that these visions will be accomplished in this house. And this house will be known as a house, the well will be known as a house of dreams. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bros, brothers, hug. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for everyone here. I thank you, God, I bless them. Lord, let them not leave this place feeling more encouraged than when they came in. Lord, I bless this church, and I bless the church. I bless, Lord Jesus, every person here and their family members. Lord, we pray, we thank you, God, that you're bringing prodigals home. We thank you, God, from the north, the south, the east, and the west in this region, that there'll be a move of God.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you, God, that people are in their sleep. People they're having sleepless nights. I pray that all of a sudden that their mind would come to this place. That their mind will come and say, I need to go to church. Lord, I thank you, God, not just for them going to church. I thank you, God, for the church here going to that.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you'll position the people to step into places that they're meant to go, because they're so spirit-led, and led by the glory of God and the goodness of God, that God, that they bring hope everywhere they go. That they're a city and a hill that cannot be hidden. I thank you, God, for miracles, signs, and wonders. Salvations filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for transformations in people's hearts. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Darby. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Yeah.
If you need help making your prophecies come to pass, I'll help. If you want to help me, I'd like to help you reach people with food. That's awesome.
Amen.
I can start anytime.
Amen.
So, thanks a lot, guys. Drive safe.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook, or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking the well. I'm taking the well right here. I'm taking the well in the valley of my weeping. I'm taking the well in my tears. I'm taking the well.